Hey everybody, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world to join us for today. Thank you so much for being here as we work today with transforming worry into its natural healthy role of clarity. I always think of this realm as smoothing out like the edges of like the mind. Where are the ruffles? And what's not settling there? What's sort of lingering or dangling? So as we work with transforming worry into clarity, we're particularly doing it in the context of the freeze response. So as you settle on in here for today, I'm going to invite you to make any adjustments, getting comfy cozy, and to begin by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. Let go, to make space, and every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking a moment to really just savor that, to be with that, to really appreciate it in a way that might be almost like a piece of chocolate melting in your mouth. It's like, yum. And then on purpose, I'm going to invite you to either scan your outward environment or your inward environment and take time to really notice something that catches your attention that's pleasant, beautiful, easeful, perhaps just neutral. And whatever it is you land on, take a moment to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. What is it you most appreciate about that thing? And as you drink that in, breathing it inside of you, savoring it, appreciating it, and notice what happens inside of you. Notice what happens inside of you as you do that all. And if anything that's happening inside of you in response to where your gaze is, where your attention, your focus is, feels pleasant inside of you, then the invitation is to take time to savor that as well. And while you do that, I'm going to offer my thanks. And thank you for being here, just as you are. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet opportunity for us all to connect in this way together. Thank you to your families for creating you, to the creation of all of you. And thank you to the ancestors that created them, and to the lineage that created that, and to the very source of it all. Thank you. And deepest of gratitudes to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all and allowed for our existence to arise. And thank you for nourishing it well for all of those to come. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. So we're actually starting off on the left side of the heart. And we're actually doing some work with the bottom part, the left ventricle. That's the part that pumps blood to your entire body. And here we're working with, not surprising given our topic, the emotional freeze response, in particular by means of anxiousness and anxiety. And it's somewhere in between, and maybe even a combination of both, social anxiety and people pleasing. And in particular, it's working with the habit pattern of like, did I do that right? Did I do that good enough? What should I have done better? And like the double checking, which on in one hand is wonderful to be able to, self-evaluate, to notice what could be different next time or be curious about what you want to explore differently. But on the other hand, if it's getting too intense or it's coming from a place of finger pointing, blaming, and shaming, then it often creates a very heavy burden here. And there is this idea that you had to do it this way, like you had to do it by means of blame and shame. And that's actually like a learned response. So I'm going to invite you to imagine what's in here. I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can like literally in your heart space, potentially see an image. For some of you, that might show up differently. It might be like a color, a texture. It might be a sound, a smell, a taste, or a feeling. But whatever's here, I'm going to invite you just to take the next few breaths to soften into that with your observation, to drink that in your awareness. And as you notice that all, breathing into it, and knowing that this is a learned response, that this wasn't actually yours in the first place, you actually have the opportunity to gift that back to where you got it from, return to sender in a way. And how this is going to look is we're going to imagine scooping this energy up out of your body. So notice how much there is, taking your attention to the edges of it. And as we scoop it up out of the body, imagine that you can, when you're ready to grasp it and scoop that up, imagine that you can hand that back to the higher selves from where it came from, likely mom and dad, or any other caretakers that may have been present in your life in the early years, but likely mom and dad, even if it was a grandparent, it likely was them who, gave it to mom and dad, who then gave it to you. And as you hand it back, handing it back to that person's higher self, and then in turn, they can actually hand it back to where they got it from, if they so choose to that person's higher self that they got it from. And even if you're not quite sure where this came from, you can actually still gift it back to wherever it came from, to that person's higher self. And again, they get to hand it back to where that came from. And it's going to keep on going back from higher self to higher self to higher self, all the way through the lineage, all the way through the line. And as it does so, I see that unraveling all the way through the thoracic spine, the thoracic vertebrae, one by one by one, going back all the way through, until it reaches source itself. And as it reaches source, it gets to be transformed. Almost as if we could imagine it going up into smoke, going up into flames, and the ashes from which get to fall onto the earth and be gathered by Mother Earth, by Gaia, by Pachamama. And she actually takes that, like volcanic ash, and creates new lands. Something new gets to grow here. You might even notice what that is, what gets created here for you to be with. And whatever that is that shows up, or even if it's not showing up, immediately, it may come. Just welcoming that space to be here, and welcoming whatever is here to be here in this new form. And as that happens, we're going to run hydration all the way through the hearts, as well as all the way through the hearts of your entire family lineages, connecting them via this flow of water, connecting them via this flow of emotions. I literally see this as like any freeze responses, almost like frozen water, gets to soften and melt and flow, just like the edges of a riverbank begin to soften and flow in springtime. The ice begins to melt. The ice that's on the edges, the water in the river still tends to be able to flow in some way, shape, or form, whether that's on the surface or down below. But the edges, the surface, if it's frozen, gets to softly melt and dissolve into the water that's still here, that's still been running all this time. It just was covered up by some frozen energy that may have even come across as cold or cool in some ways. And as that makes its way through via hydration, bringing in water and joy, releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore, I see it also releasing in its wake, in its path, a whole lot of frustration, anger, and rage. And as that frustration, that anger, that rage is getting released, it actually helps to like literally like warm up to defrost, as anger carries a nice warmth to it. And it further supports the melting of this freeze response. And that anger, I hear the words like, that wasn't okay. Like some rage against indoctrination, some rage against having to learn these things, the rage against the systemic pattern in which that flows, the rage against, excuse me, at a certain subconscious level, why this is all happening this way in the first place. And at a certain level of understanding, there's a part of you that knows like this could be different. And perhaps it's our modern day world that makes it so much more challenging by means of attempting to help, so to speak. And then I see that actually going back to the quote unquote help that you received when you were first born. And in that birth, there was this, again, undermining by means of helping by something systemic, this time the level of like the medical system versus like family system indoctrinations and beliefs and learned conditioning and learned beliefs. But at the level of the medical system, there's this like, oh, I'll just help you. We'll make that easier for you. And in the end, it ends up programming this idea of, oh, I need help. I have to be helpless in order to get the help that I need. I have to be powerless in order to get the help that I need. And all the frustration woven in through that. And it becomes the formation of this unconscious bias as to why we tend to demand answers from other people, or demand like this should be a different way from other people, versus, and that gets in the way, I'm going to suggest, us being curious about our own potential understanding, learnings from within ourselves. It sets the stage ultimately to look out there for answers versus in here, which might be the biggest, ooh, tragedy, abuse, manipulation, pick a word, that there is. And that, and if I could sum it all up in a word, I'm going to call it disempowerment process, that happened at your birth in whatever way it may have happened, whether that was, your mom got medication when that actually seemed like it would be an easier, comforting thing to do, but yet it ended up in this chronic disorientation response where you can never quite figure out where it is you're going or why it is you're getting there. Whether it seemed like you were taking a long time to get there, so they rushed you with other chemicals like Pitocin, or they used other assists like forceps or suction cups, Or they decided, ooh, you know what? This is going on for a while, probably C-section time. And that may translate into, like, you know, why are you chronically rushing me? Why don't I get to know where my own rhythm is? How come I'm not in touch with what it is I need and wants? And those are just two out of many, many, many examples. So as we work with this, know that we're not so much pinpointing one particular thing, but we're looking at the overall pattern. And that sense of disempowerment seems to have landed particularly in the very core of the spinal column in the Sushumna. And within here, there's this belief system of I can't make it. I can't make this happen. I can't make it. I can't succeed. And that's in particular hanging out, it looks like, right around governing vessel 14 point at the base of the neck, at the base of the spine of, pardon me, not the base of the spine, at the top of the rib cage and at the base of the neck. And governing vessel 14 point is the most yang or masculine point in the whole entire body mind. And as we work with it, at the heart of this all, this sort of like center of almost like an adhesion of fascial knots on an energetic level. Oh, I had the words just a moment ago. I'm having a menopause moment. Bear with me. As we work here with this theme of like, I can't make it on my own, I'm powerless, I'm helpless, there's this sense of also like that this is something that you deserved to be. There's this sense of governing vessel 14, there's a sense of like that you brought this onto yourself. So there's this essence of shame contained deep within it. And this essence of within that, blaming and victimhood. And it sets us up again for this chronic and way of playing out material in our lives by blaming out there versus looking in here and seeing like, hey, what's in the way of me being able to succeed, to make it? Well, that's happening because, you know, there's a government issue or there's a crisis happening in the world or there's whatever the list might be of reasons that we have in our adult lives or in our inner children's lives. The list can get really juicy and long when we look at all those arenas combined. We're beginning to unravel. It looks like this just like gigantic knot, almost like it's like a golf ball sized tumor in there. And as we begin to unwind that, excuse me. With it is going the belief system of I shouldn't know my own mind. I shouldn't know my own mind. And we're just unraveling this idea again of I should rely on the experts who know better than I do. Mean, what if you're actually your own inner experts? We're gonna run that as a permission statement. And we're also gonna bring in the energy of the sun to express the fullest life force potential possible. And as we do that, we're actually going to go to the bottom of the rib cage where the bottom thoracic vertebrae joins onto the low back, lumbar one. And there I see another equivalent knot. Again, sort of like golf ball size. And it's just as it's got the theme of all the reasons as to why you shouldn't be like financially prosperous. All these reasons as to why it has to be hard. And like for really good logical reasons. And all the reasons that your family has held over several generations. We're going back 8 generations on mom's side, there we go. And on dad's side, going back 12 generations. It was flip-flopping for a moment. And as we go back through the family lines, It's almost as if there's been this subtle process of devaluation that's been happening throughout the family lineage. And there's this idea that, again, over time, we should just rely on outside sources instead of ourselves to find our worth, to find our value, which isn't technically possible to find it out there. And that in turn is linking all into the eighth house, house of the hard knocks, as I often call it. It's also the house of death, rebirth, regeneration, and the house of other people's money, which is a bit of a factor here in this case. And as we work with it, we're actually working with also the eighth house capacity for regeneration. And what if the process of softening into ourselves actually allowed for a form of surrender to happen, a form of relaxation to happen? You can imagine like making a really tight fist, and feel free to even do it physically. And that fist is actually mimicking all the tension, all the holding found in the base of the spine. Or not the base of the spine, pardon me, the base of the rib cage. And then begin to really, really slowly let go of that tension over a count of 10, 9, 8, you get the idea, all the way through. And as that happens, something changes, something happens, something softens here. I'm going to invite you to do that two or three times more. You can either do it in your back body, or you can use a hand, making a fist, bringing in tension now to that spot in your back body at the base of the rib cage, right at the center of the spine, thoracic 12, lumbar 1, if you like the fancy words, making it really, really tense, and slowly letting go over a count of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if you like, again, feel free to repeat that once, twice more. And as that happens, bringing in more and more awareness with each round. It's all the tension that's been held here, and all of the confusion, the lack of clarity, so to speak, and all of the concerns around, well, the rules of the game in our modern world seem to be changing from generation to generation. So how do we do this now? How do we adapt now? And as we do that, bringing in the energy of the pancreas, which knows the rhythm of life. And now that we've addressed some of the first stuff around maybe that was tied into not being able to find your own rhythm, it helps to restore the sense of, I know how to do this. I can find my own way through this now. And we're running that as a permissions. I can find my own way through this. Not in a way that invokes hyper-independence, but more in a sense of giving a strong, assertive sense of self. I can find my own way through this. Which doesn't negate that there might be support available and that you can also receive that support. And alongside that support, you also get to find your own way through this. And we're just working with this all the way through, all the way through. And I see that going all the way through the base of the thoracic, all the way through to the top of the thoracic spine. So basically, the region behind the rib cage that the spine runs in. Now, as it goes all the way through this entire thoracic spine, I see the entire rib cage soften its usual realm of protection. As we run the permissions here, it's safe to open up. And with that, running a body chemistry, interestingly enough, on being able to tolerate the ecstasy, the sweetness, the delights, the joys that are found in life. That's also being mirrored within the microbe system in the form of candida. We're actually going to run a seedry on what it means to open up to, nourishment in this way. Maybe even opening up with a sense of wild abandon, if you really want to push the edges of that. So as much or as little as you like to lean into this territory, what it means to open up to delight, to joy, to ecstasy, to bliss, to things that feel good again. All the way through this ribcage, running a C3, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources. Blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal. And also balancing yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and running hydration here. Helping again those cells to take in water, joy, releasing any impurities. And then D for defrag, much like that computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter that doesn't need to be here anymore and what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then all the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As it happens, I actually see the body fall back into like open arms. With the arms almost like parallel to shoulder height, maybe even up a little bit more. I'm seeing the entire heart space open. And as that happens, bringing in the sun to the front body and the moon to the back body, bringing in what it means to be held by nature, by natural forces, by the natural masculine sun and the natural feminine moon. And it's all defined by the consciousness of being reparented. Beautiful. By being reparented by the natural realm. And as that happens, releasing layers of conditioning that are ready to go around all the reasons why you thought it was so very necessary to protect yourself by means of shutting down, collapsing, freezing, which the ribcage is notorious for hanging on to. And as it opens up through here, those sort of tumor-sized things that I was seeing at the top and the bottom size, golf ball tumor-sized things I was seeing at the top and the bottom of the ribcage, they're down to the size of like a pencil eraser. It's just like a small nub left. And the one at the very top is actually turning now, it's turning black. And there's this really, really like, it almost looks like a really hard piece of black phlegm that's creating congestion, not just here, but also throughout the system. You might notice it more in your sinuses. Some you might notice it more in your digestive responses, your digestive tract, or elsewhere. But as we work with it here, this is like the root of that inflammation. And it's working with, again, this idea of protection. And specifically in the form of, like, how will this hurt me? And the anticipation, again, of, like, how will this hurt me? Being, like, an automatic bias in terms of how it is you're perceiving your world around you. And what if that's actually the thing, that caution, that anxiety, that lack of clarity, if you will, is creating the inflammation, creating this excessive tension in terms of how it is you relate to your environment. And it's there for really good reason. At its very core is holding tremendously deep hurts. And that begins to soften in its own way. The edges of it are almost like a fascial adhesion that are just beginning to unwind. running a cellular repair here, restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health. And doing a very deep emotional release of sadness all the way through the very core of you. And this sadness is connected to this idea of feeling like you were deserving of all the times you experienced the lack of nourishment, that you experienced neglect or abandonment, potentially abusiveness, violence. And there's this idea of like you brought this on yourself. Again, this subtle thread of shame running through here. And that in turn is linking all the way through to house 12, house of endings, releasing, surrendering, making space, house of allowing. As we work with this, connecting the breath to this very top of the spine. And then I see it turn into just this, a different shape. I see it turn into like a burr, like a really prickly thorn or burr. And it's still small, but it's kind of like stuck and sticky there. If you've ever had to pick burrs out of your animal's fur, you know exactly how difficult sometimes those can be. Intertwined, that can all get. As we work with this, it's releasing the energy of entanglement of all the ways that you did make it kind of sticky, for buying into that, for falling into this idea that this was not yours in the first place. And what if that's the only thing that's ever really made it more tangly or sticky in all of our realms of being? As we begin to unwind this sticky, stuck thing, bringing in lymphatic circulation and releasing all the overthinking patterns that have got into that. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm the queen of the overthinking realm, but I'm willing to share the title with others. And the overthinking creates a certain type of stickiness and a lack of clarity all into its own. So as we work with that, unwinding through lymphatic drainage and circulation. And then I actually see like that sticky point was the thing keeping, it was almost like it was keeping the back body and the front body really close together and not separately moving. And I actually see now some space opening up between back body and between front body and bringing in breath, bringing in circulation of all the healing resources through here, all the same ones that we listed earlier. And bringing in literally that consciousness of a breath of fresh air now. And as that releases, its stuckness, its stagnancy begins to release. There's more room for flow. And there's literally more room for that fresh new breath of air. And as that melts off, releasing from the right iliopsoas muscle. Any holding patterns that held this idea that you were to stand in your own suffering and shame in a way that was helpless and powerless to affect change, or a way that was helpless and powerless to make anything different happen. And as you release that, it was almost as if that too was a pattern all into its own right that became like a job of sorts. And we're releasing the responsibility of holding on to that particular job of suffering. Releasing the job of having to carry this burden or be a burden in the first place at all. Releasing that from all the different musculatures around the left shoulder blade, including the space between the shoulder blade and the spine, where the rhomboid, posterior serratus run. But working with all the muscles of that shoulder. and shoulder blade. And that in turn is linking into the 10th house. House of career, achievement, recognition, in particular here, outward self-expression. Okay, with that, the base of the spine, or I keep saying that, the base of the rib cage, not the base of the spine, the base of the rib cage, that image transforms and it turns into this like golden coin, but it's so ancient, it's lost its gold color, and you knew you could tell it was once golden, but it's got like this greenish tinge to it, denoting how antique it is, how old it is. And it seems to be carrying within it, at its very core, the essence of the sacred, something sacred, the essence of the sacred. Okay, and here we're releasing, as one teacher calls it, the root of slavery for us all, regardless of skin tone, the slavery behind the verbiage that we use around I have to versus I get to. I have to makes us a slave, as she would say. And I think if we look far back enough in history and cultures and societies, almost everyone's been enslaved by another culture at a certain time or another. So this is really its own particular pattern if we look widespread. This idea of wanting to be controlled, wanting to be enslaved. Those were also tying into the words earlier that I was ha when I was having my menopause moment that I couldn't locate then. It just wasn't time yet for them to come up in the session. So now it's here. And now as we release this wanting to be controlled, wanting to be enslaved, and you hear that frequently in our language of like, oh, I have to go do this now, or I have to take care of the dog, or I have to make the chicken, or I have to whatever it is. Versus the tone of I get to. It's like, oh yeah, like I get to go do that now. And it might be something hard or challenging, and I'm here, I'm alive, I get to actually go do that thing. And then I hear that left side of the heart, that left ventricle in particular, go like, I might even like it. There might even actually be something joyous and pleasurable in there. And think of this now as the heart and the base of the rib cage together become a team to reorient to that pleasure, that ecstasy, that delight, the bliss, the joyful side of life again. Linking that all the way through the entire, again, rib cage, thoracic spine that runs through its center in the back body there. As well as through the chest bone that connects the ribs in the front body, the sternum. And I just see the back of the rib cage, the thoracic spine in the front, the sternum begin to actually like pulsate. Almost like a butterfly flapping its wings. And carrying this pulsation of excitement, like it might be a little bit scary, and also like, holy smokes, this is really cool. Holy smokes, this gets to be kind of fun. Holy smokes, what am I opening up into? It gets to be a surprise, a mystery. What if I don't need to control my future outcome? Oh, kind of a radical thought there. What if sometimes joy can be found in the intersectionality between control and surrender? What if? Between the intersection of control and surrender, we can find this in a way that resonates internally, physically, somatically in your bodies. as we work with that, we're heading back to that right hip. It's creating a new foundation to move forward, to take action, to respond to life from. And we're linking all the work that we've done in the ribcage through to this right hip to support you in opening up, to be able to act or respond to saying yes to things that might bring you pleasure in ways that you might not be able to predict, in ways that might be surprising, in ways that you think, well, that might go actually beyond what it is you thought it was. And that in turn is linking into the right shoulder, which is open to taking up a new job, which is again working with this orientation to pleasure, orientation to finding a lighter way of moving through life, and orientating to setting down the old beliefs of how hard you have to struggle to barely make it, in particular. How hard you have to struggle to barely eke through, to barely make it. And with it, releasing, I can get by on less. I could do without that. I'm going to call it the scarcity response. That is exceptionally common in anyone who's got any immigrants. Energy, whether it was your particular generation or more likely the generations before you, in particular 2, 3, 4, 5 generations before you. And releasing this pain and giving yourself permission to do that. The tone over the last few years, pardon me, in our world, in our culture, may have carried enough blame or shame towards different cultures, different races that have said that you're not allowed to actually unshame that. And what if that was just a lot of confusion as people were sorting out a lot of things for themselves? And you get to find clarity for yourself here. And releasing any particular worry or anxiety that's been keeping your cultural trauma from healing. Put aggressively, colonization hurt everyone. And pain mirrors pain, mirrors pain, mirrors pain, creates pain, creates pain, creates pain. You get the idea. So how else can it stop? And as you release the underlying inherent pain and colonization that might be in here for you, for your lineage, or any other form of immigration idea of you should get by less, you should do without, as we step into what's beyond that scarcity, potentially opening up to the prosperous, to abundance, to self-value, we begin to create a new cycle of mirroring in ways that say to one another, you get to all hold your heads high in dignity and honor and respect. We can let the suffering of the past remain where it was, and we get to move forward in a way that's different. A lot of information in the social media channels and the news channels these days around ceasefire. So I'm going to come at this from a very different angle. What is it to ceasefire internally within yourself? What is it to ceasefire in your mind? What is it to ceasefire in your heart? What is it to ceasefire between your mind and your heart or in anywhere else in the body? And as we locate that internally, maybe mirrored externally. I've often said that internal wellness is the biggest rebellious act we can take. you get to decide if that's right for you or what that might look like for you if that is right for you. And as we unshame, perhaps that's a form of wellness, being able to return. As we unfreeze these different worries, these different places of confusion, these different places of lack, of scarcity, these different places of worry. If all those wordings that I said in a moment ago were all synonyms to one another, they all really meant the same thing. What is it to recognize that all those spots of hurt and pain create points of opportunity for hurt to be clarified as an opportunity to heal, as an opportunity to be met with kindness and with grace? And as we do that, what is it to come together in harmony in a way that is coherence? And in the process, we get to humbly acknowledge all of our clumsiness, all of our mistakes, all of our ways that we are human in being able to figure out our path to get to here. And as we bring in hydration one more time, this time for the entire nervous system, working with hydration of, in particular, the patterns of those clumsinesses, as I'm going to call them. And that might show up in how it is you navigate conversations. That might show up in how it is you navigate your own internal physical unwinding. It might show up in how it is you walk, you move in your day. But as we work with hydration for the nervous system, orienting that to help smooth out clumsiness. And with it, releasing the fear of being attacked or criticized for wanting to progress and make a change in that direction. Releasing, in essence, the fear of being attacked or criticized for changing or doing something different than how your family's done it before. How your culture, this world, society at large has done it before. And within that, going into early childhood times in which you were criticized, attacked for making a mistake, for doing something, quote unquote, that was not okay or right. And letting yourself off the hook. What is it to imagine that we could actually go back in time and see that little one at whatever age they were? When they were first getting attacked and criticized for making a mistake or doing something wrong, even though it may not have been all that wrong, you might have just accidentally spilled a glass of water or the salad dressing or whatever it is. And you may have been met in a very heavy-handed type of a way. What if you could step back in time into that little one and offer them softness, grace, understanding, love, support, acceptance. And what if that's all that's ever been needed? This level of compassion for yourself to begin to slowly, slowly, layer by layer, defrost all the parts of you that were frozen in time. And all of those branching points, all those branching points, where when you were little, the body said, "Whoa, that was too much. I didn't know how to process that." They got stuck. And now, much like the edges of a riverbank that were frozen, get to subtly begin to defrost, layer by layer by layer. And perhaps with that, so too can we offer that to those who have come before us, to their little ones who are also operating the same level of confusion. The same level of hurt and suffering. And as we begin to see this go through all the family lines, generation by generation, all the way through, all the way through to source itself. What is it to defrost? To open into the warmth of being alive in this human form again. Going and linking this all the way through to the kidney meridian, the most ancestral meridian there is. And also working with, as it does in our own body, its governance over our fluids, our nervous system, our bones. Creating flow again through your bones, very core of your bone marrow. And releasing any particular self-rejection patterns stored there. And with it, this idea that you have to reject you or aspects of you if you want to belong. Which is an interesting little conundrum. I have to reject myself in order to belong. That means I can't actually belong because I'm over here rejecting half of me while part of me gets to belong. Part of me is also being really rejected. So I never really truly get it. It's a double bind of sorts. And as you release that particular double bind, I see a big chunk of that. It's actually in different spots for a lot of you, but I see a big chunk of it coming off of the left neck. The right iliopsoas, the jaw, and it's releasing the essence of control and how controlled you had to be to survive, to belong. I'm now unwinding that as well through the base chakra and through the crown alike. I'm going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that a couple of breaths to integrate. If it feels right, now is a beautiful time to touch in on that resource that you found earlier. We're actually going to work with it's an upper spine to lower spine reciprocal, but I'm seeing it play out in tremendous intricacy. And as you know, we often link like uppermost vertebrae with bottommost vertebrae, and we're doing it with upper left to lower right, and also we're going to do same-sidedness. Like all the lefts, left top to left bottom, right top to right bottom. And then working with the space between each vertebrae. And if you can imagine the space between like cervical one to cervical two or any two vertebrae. We're actually linking cross pattern, same-sided pattern, and we're giving that its own reciprocal pattern. I'm seeing that play out all the way through from the very occiput to the base of the tailbone. And then the base of the tailbone links down into the earth below in the same reciprocal type of pattern, and the top of the cervical spine where it links onto the occiput. It keeps going upward from there. The occiput links through to the Nouncing a lumboidal suture that divides the occipital bone from the parietal bone and temporal bone, and pardon me, and then also all the way through to the very center of the crown, and then up through to the heavens, to the sky. And as that happens, it's almost like a marionette puppet. Dangling in a good way, everything sort of just like shaking and loosening, and like if you could imagine everything just sort of like flopping, loosey goosey, shaking, shimmying all the way through, releasing spot by spot, frozen energy, spot by spot, of all the times you've needed to hold things together by means of overthinking, overanalyzing, by low self-esteem, by thinking you needed to drive yourself forward, by being hard on yourself. And what if that same capacity for adversity that you've developed could also be applied now to the capacity to also receive the goodness in life again? And what if we can make room and space in this spine of yours through all those reciprocal patterns that I outlined previously? To have all the spaces in between filled in with the goodness, calling in as you make space for the goodness of life. If it feels right for you, you can bring in the energy of the sun and the moon again. And as we offer that, this realignment to what it means to be in the natural world, which is to be balanced between duality of good and bad. May have leaned a little heavily in one direction. What if there's actually a third option here, a middle way between the good and the bad? Maybe there's a space between all of that too. And then finding that arising through this midline region, through all seven chakras, opening up now through to all the relationships between the shoulders and the hips. As the shoulders release all the old jobs and the hips form new foundations. All the old jobs that were associated with having to shame or blame or force yourself through means of beating yourself up or criticizing or attacking yourself or low self-esteem to move forward. We're going to tap that part out here. As your body sinks into the newness of what's possible here, however that gets to be expressed in your unique fashion. Breathing that through, breathing that all the way through here. And giving that another couple of breaths, letting that integrate here. I've got a 3-minute song. It's called Cherokee Morning by Robbie Robertson.
Windeya, windeya, windeya,
for calling this medicine in. And thank you for all that you are in this world, exactly as you are. Thank you to you all for all that you offer this group, with all your energy, with all your observation, with all your loving kindness, with all your presence. May it continue to ripple back to you in a thousand folds. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Wishing you a beautiful day and week ahead. You're most welcome. And from the bottom of my own immigrant heart, right back to your immigrant heart. My family's immigrant heart, I should say. Yeah. Thank you to all those ancestors. I'll celebrate that with you. I feel that. Okay. Bye for now, my loves. If anybody needs any additional support, as always, feel free to hang out. I'm going to stop the recording here.